Lord, we thank you for each one that has gathered here today, and I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be able to lift our voices in song. And Lord, if there is anybody here that's discouraged, that, Lord, that the music would uplift them today, and they would feel the love of Christ, and they would be able to say, love lifted me. So we ask that you would do that for them today, and we commit this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We have heard the joyful song, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the steeps across the ways. Onward is the Lord's command, Jesus saves. Wafted off the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands on the sea, echo back ye ocean waves. Earth shall keep her jubilee, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle's cry, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. With death and endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy craves.
Now I trust him, how I've proved him all.
life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with rage. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. All the riches of His grace, resting neath the sheltering wing. Always looking on His smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my of His grace, resting neath the sheltering wing. Always looking on His smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my air.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring Him thy burdens and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away. Calling today, calling today.
Well, in a few moments, Hannah and Emma are going to sing a few scripture songs, and I hope you enjoy them, but the reason why we're here is not really for your entertainment. I'm hoping that it builds up your faith. We all want to grow stronger in our faith, and sometimes we ask God, okay, I want to be stronger in my faith, how can I do that? And so one of the ways we can do that is through the scripture. It says, as we've all heard in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so Hannah and Emma are going to sing five scripture songs. And it says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Do you want the power of God in your life? We begin by singing the word and meditating on the word. And we know that in this day, especially as we've thought about in the last 6 weeks or so since September 11th, people are looking for an anchor, right? And if we want an anchor, here's one. Isaiah 40:8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. We know also that every day Satan is busy tempting us. If you're a believer, if you're attempting to live for Christ, I guarantee you Satan is at you every day, and he wants to get us to stumble. And so we have the great example of Jesus when Satan tempted him sorely in the desert after 40 years of fasting, 40 days of fasting. How did Jesus respond? He didn't try to use human intelligence. He didn't try to use reasoning of man's philosophies. He used the word. He said, it is written, to the first temptation. To the second temptation, he said, it is written, and so forth. And sometimes Satan tries to come against us and tell us lies, like one lie he tells us, well, so-and-so, he's too sick to be healed. How do we come against that when Satan brings us lies? We can answer back with the word. For example, God says, with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. And then I want to just share one more, Joshua 1:8. If we want the God of Joshua to bless us, then here is the lesson from Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And you know, sometimes we've just discovered as a family that if we want to memorize scripture, what really seems to help is to put it to music, right? I think we all like to sing along to the radio, and even if we don't think we can carry a tune just right, there's something about music that when you memorize scripture set to music that it really sticks with you. So here we go, and the first one they'll be singing is Proverbs 3:5-6.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not upon your own understanding. In all the ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct, and he shall direct thy path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not upon your own understanding. In all the ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct, and he shall direct thy paths.
The next one is Romans 8:1-2.
There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will set you free from the law of sin and death. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Next we have Luke 10:19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Who's to overcome? Nothing will harm you, nothing, nothing will harm you. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, and to overcome all the power of the enemies. Who to overcome? Nothing nothing will harm you, nothing, nothing will harm you.
And from the Gospels, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 27.
Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your bodies, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither toil nor reap, nor gather into barns, nor gather into barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Oh, are you not of more value than these? Oh, are you not of more value than these? 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 And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his span of life? Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life.
And the last one is the familiar benediction from Romans chapter 15, verse 13.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
I was asked to sing at a funeral a few years back, and I said, what songs would you like? That was one of them. The guy was crowding 80, and his boy said, that's the only song I ever heard him sing. So we're going to sing it. Thanks, girls. Let that be a challenge to some of the rest of you. We want to hear more of that. Love it.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Stand with me.
Jesus.
Today in the world, those last lines really mean something. They really mean something. Kings and kingdoms will come to pass, to be a thing of the past. There's just something about that name that will remain. Jesus, 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 like the free about that name, Master, prayerfully, prayerfully, one more time. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
there's just
something about that name. Master, Savior, us like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus.
something about that name.
Praise Him this morning. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There is something about that name. The only name given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We love you. We worship you this morning. Praise Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Worthy is the name of Jesus. That name above every name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your worthy name.
Real quickly, please turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, the last chapter in the book of Matthew, and actually we're going to look at the last three verses. I'd like to invite you all next Sunday. I have a special message plan that I've been working on for months, and I'm sure it'll be a blessing to you, and bring somebody along with you, and we'll have some fun with the message next Sunday morning. Today, however, I want to talk about discipleship, what discipleship is all about. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. I'll just let you remain seated today as I read the word. And Jesus came and spake unto them, that's his disciples, his 11 disciples, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Could everybody say the last word there with me? Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. The highest goal in the Christian life is simply to know Christ, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul said that his goal was to win Christ. And Paul said that he would give certain things in exchange for that. Do you know what he said that he would give in exchange for winning Christ? All things. All things. He says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of, he said it again, all things, and do count them but dung that I might win Christ. So Paul said, I will give everything that I have in exchange for winning Christ. And I hope that that would be your desire this morning. And I hope it's your desire along with mine. How can we know Christ more intimately? How can we know him better? I believe the answer to that is by passing the test of discipleship. Here's a question for you. How do you know when you've become a disciple? Or let's say you want to disciple somebody. How do you know when that person has become a disciple? How do you know when they've reached discipleship? Do you ever know those things? What constitutes discipleship? We have discipleship classes from time to time. You know, what do you teach in a discipleship class? How do you know those people that you're teaching? How do you know they've reached the area of discipleship? Well, the answer is found in our text. The answer is found in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. So the answer to what you teach as far as discipleship goes is to teach the person the commandments of Jesus. Now the reward of this is found in John chapter 14 and verse 21. Jesus said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. You teach a person to observe the commandments of Jesus. Jesus said, the Father will love that person. I will love that person. I will make known myself to that person. I will manifest myself to that person. A more intimate relationship will take place. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. To keep the commandments of Jesus here means to keep them before your eyes with the intent of obeying. Keep them before your eyes with the intent of obeying. And then John chapter 15 and verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have come across a publication. It's a little booklet. And I have a sample booklet on the back table by the bulletins and the calendars today. And I want you to take a look at that booklet. As you flip through the booklet, you will notice that there are cards that are perforated that you can cut out, and you can carry them with you in your pocket or in your purse or wherever you like, and they are simply the commands of Jesus, and then on the other side or below, I'm not sure which, the rewards that come for keeping that command, that commandment. And so there's a sign-up sheet in the back, too. I would like you to take a look at the booklet. If this is something that you would be interested in, sign your name. The cost for this will be $4. We'll collect the money, and we'll order these cards for anybody that would like them, because this, in a very practical way, will help us keep the commands of Jesus before our eyes. Jesus has called us not just to be Christians. He has called us to be disciples of his. He has called us to know his commandments and to obey his commandments and to live them out. In a very practical way, we can keep them before our eyes. So that's available to you back there. We can fulfill John chapter 14 and verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them before his eyes, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So the question that comes to me logically next is, what are the commandments of Jesus anyway? What are those commandments? Well, I believe that they would include Christ's own teachings, beginning in Matthew, the teachings of Jesus. There's a sequence to those teachings. And then also all other teachings that relate to his commandments. Paul said that his teaching was based on two things. His teaching was based, first of all, on Christ's own words, and then secondly, that which led to Christ-like living. So that would be becoming a disciple and obeying the commandments of the Lord, that which Christ himself said, and also that teaching which leads to Christ-like living. 2 Corinthians 13:1 says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same also commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's discipleship. Teach others the words of Jesus. Teach others also. How well do you know the commandments of the Lord? For fun today, I'd like to take a little quiz. And I have some questions on the overhead up here. And what I'm going to do is put this question up here or things that people say, and I want you to think, what would Jesus say in response to that? Okay, and I'm going to pick out responses from the Word, from Christ's own teachings, and how you can answer wrong philosophies and thoughts that people have today. The first one, some people say, all you have to do is believe in the works of Jesus, and you are a Christian. What would Jesus have to say? What would Jesus say about that? Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. You say believing is not enough. James tells us that even the devils believe and tremble. Jesus said, if you want to enter into the kingdom, you must repent. Here's another one. Since temptations are going to come, you shouldn't try to avoid them. You shouldn't try to avoid temptation. Some people think that if you go in the middle of a temptation and you can overcome that temptation, it'll make you stronger. But that's a very dangerous thing to do. You know what Jesus said? Anybody think of what Jesus might say to that? Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. He told Peter, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Let me skip down here just for the sake of time. How about this one? Since so many people are doing it, it must be all right. What would Jesus say to that? Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Those are just a few examples of the commandments of Jesus and how we can overcome the false teachings and what we hear people say today. How about this one? You have heard people say today, the Old Testament has no application for us today. The Old Testament is not applicable to us today. But Jesus said, Matthew 22, 37 through 40, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments, Jesus said, hangs all the law and the prophets. That takes care of the Old Testament for us. Some people say God doesn't expect everyone to witness. Some people are called to be soul winners. Some people are called to be evangelists. But Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Here's one I've heard quite often. You don't need to ask God for everything. After all, God helps those who help themselves. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Some people say when pressure becomes an obstacle to your goal, all you need to do is double your efforts. But you know, sometimes the thoughts of God are just opposite of what our thoughts would be. That would be our thought. If there's pressure there, we just work that much harder to get through the pressure. But you know what the answer is? Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Some people say, if you want to be successful, learn how to entertain your friends and influence important people. But Jesus said, when thou makest a dinner or supper, call not thy friends nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. So with this background today, let's consider what discipleship is all about. Right from the text this morning, let's consider what discipleship is all about. First of all, discipleship is all about power. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Right before giving the Great Commission, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Well, in what areas does the disciple have power? Well, he has power in the area of sin, power to overcome sin. It's really what we were talking about in Sunday school this morning.
Romans chapter 6 and verse 14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." See, the law could not give the power to defeat sin. But grace is the power to overcome sin, because grace is the desire and power that God gives us to do God's will. And God's will in the area of sin is for us to overcome it. He wants us to be overcomers. The disciple has power in the area of overcoming Satan. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 4. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now this is, of course, something that is yet to come. It's one of the greatest promises in all of the Word of God. The thing that I want you to understand here is that an angel gets a hold of Satan, binds him, and shuts him up. There are two mistakes that we make concerning Satan. Either one, we overestimate him, or we underestimate him. Satan has no divine qualities. He is not God. He is not omnipresent. He is not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. He has certain restrictions from which he dare not deviate. I want you to know that Satan's power is truly limited. And John tells us that just before this 1,000-year reign of Christ, the millennium, Satan will be removed from the human experience and he will be bound for 1,000 years. The question I have is this: what does it take to get Satan away? What does it take to bind Satan and put him away for 1,000 years? Does it take a great struggle with Jesus Christ going at it with the devil? Does it take Michael, that great archangel, to come and do battle with the prince of darkness and chain him up and put him away for 1,000 years? No. How about Gabriel, the other angel that we hear so much about in Scripture? Is Gabriel the one that has to come and show his strength and power to overcome the devil? No, it simply says an angel. An angel. Just an ordinary angel is able to come and he's able to take Satan and subdue him. This one single angel takes hold of Satan and binds him and shuts him up. I want you to understand today the power of heaven. There are tens of thousands of angels, and any one of them can put Satan in his place. Small wonder the word promises us that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Christian disciple has also power to love through suffering. It's one of the great traits of the Christian life. And to realize that power does come through suffering after Jesus suffered temptation from the devil, those 40 days and nights in the wilderness, it says he returned in the power of the Spirit. Romans 5, 1 through 5, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed." Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And then we're given power to do great exploits. John chapter 14 and verse 12, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." How many believe that verse today? You have to believe it. It's in here, right? Greater works you can do than Jesus because Jesus went to the Father. The greater works that Jesus does, he performs in and through his disciples. A disciple, due to his union with Christ in the Spirit, will be able to do the works that originate with Jesus just as the works of Jesus originated with the Father. They will be greater works because the larger work of Christ lay beyond the ministry that he had in his flesh. His greater work is taking place in the world today. The great work. In the days of the flesh, Jesus came to reveal the Father and to die as a sin sacrifice. But in the Spirit, he says, I will build my church. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Instead of Jesus going about there, there will be many disciples with whom Jesus indwells. And so in that respect, the Spirit of God is magnified throughout this world. And just think of it. Through Peter on the day of Pentecost, Jesus began his ministry as the great baptizer. Since then, there has been a great harvest of souls. That is a greater work. The harvest of souls has been taken from the world, and his greater work of building the church, building his body, is taking place. Discipleship is all about power. It's all about power. Number two, discipleship is all about pilgrim mobility. Pilgrim mobility, the word go. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Abraham is a great example for us of that pilgrim mobility. And from Abraham's life, we learn that pilgrims, they obey the call. They never settle down. They look for an eternal city. They have telescopic vision. They acknowledge their faith. They never turn back. They long for a better land. And they die in the faith. Pilgrim mobility. Number three, discipleship is all about personal example. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 24. Jesus said, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Jesus was the outstanding example of being a servant. And what do? They serve their master. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity, in spirit and faith and in purity. Number four, discipleship is all about principalities. Teach all nations. We are to teach all nations. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And then it says in verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I believe that this is saying that disciples are somehow to be involved in missions. Somehow being involved in taking the words of Jesus and teaching them to other nations. And along with that is the command to pray for our leaders and those who are in authority over us. Number five, discipleship is about public confession, baptizing them. Luke 12:8 says, and I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Public confession. A disciple is not ashamed to let the world know that Jesus Christ is his Lord and Master. Number six, it's about producing fruit. Discipleship is about producing fruit. John chapter 15 and verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. God is glorified by us bearing fruit. Jesus said, so shall ye be my disciples. Now there are four levels of branch bearing. Jesus said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit. So that's one level, no fruit. Could I have four volunteers up here this morning? Just come up here and stand. Okay, Jesus said that one level of fruit bearing is no fruit. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit. No offense, Steve, but we'll let you be the branch that doesn't bear any fruit, all right? And then the second level, every branch in me that bears fruit, Jesus said. Every branch in me that bears fruit. So here's the branch that bears fruit, okay? No fruit, fruit, okay? Does anybody know what the third level would be? Okay, he wants this branch to bear more fruit. Okay, so this is the more fruit. No fruit, fruit, more fruit. And then finally, the last branch would be what? Much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. Now understand that every disciple of Christ is at one of these levels, okay? But he does something with each of these levels. The branch that bears no fruit, he what? You know what he does? No? No. The branch that bears no fruit, he takes away. Let me show you here. In John chapter 15 and verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Bye, Steve. You get to go. We're taking you away. And I'm not going to speculate what he does with that branch today. That's not our concern, what it means when he takes it away. Okay? But the branch that bears fruit, you know what he does to that one? Okay. He prunes it. There's a couple ways of looking at pruning. One is, says he, purge me with hyssop, which is cleaning, cleansing. Sometimes a branch lays down in the dirt. It hangs over. And so what the vineyard owner does is he comes and he takes that branch and he lifts it up and he cleans it off. He washes it up. And it's then able, and he props it up so that it's able to produce more fruit. Other times, it can also mean, pruning can also mean, you ever seen a tree that starts forming a little offshoot down at the base? They might cut that off. Because that little offshoot is taking some of the sap and that which is necessary for the main branch, the main tree, to grow. Okay, so we can either clean him up or we can cut off those things in his life which are not necessary for becoming a better disciple. And then much fruit. Okay, so Josh, you are cleaned up. All right, and the vine dresser do with the more fruit branch. What does he do with the more fruit branch? Okay, if you have your Bibles, you can look. Otherwise, I'll read it to you. John chapter 15, verses 4 through 5. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. What does he do with the more fruit branch so that it produces much fruit? Nothing. He simply invites it to abide, right? He invites him to abide because he knows that in his presence, abiding in his presence will bring fruit. You know, you work and you work and you work, and sometimes you get to the place where you can't work any longer. The place of abiding is the place where you stop working. It's where you start resting in Jesus. It's the place where he starts doing the miraculous in your life, and he produces the fruit that is already there, and he makes it into much fruit. Okay? So there's no fruit. There's fruit. There's more fruit. And there's much fruit. And so, Rex, we abide and you bear much fruit. And of course, the last one is much fruit. She's already there. And the only thing that we could say is that, Molly, you continue to abide in Jesus Christ so that you continue to bring forth much fruit. Herein is the Father glorified that you bring forth much fruit. Thanks. Thanks for all your help today, folks. Appreciate that. And number 7, discipleship, what is it all about? It's all about perseverance. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Paul said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. That's what discipleship is all about. And where do you begin? Where do you begin? You know, I want to be a better disciple. I want to be one that brings forth the much fruit. And as I look at my life today, I wonder, where do I fit in? Is there no fruit? Is there fruit? Is there more fruit? Or is there much fruit? And are you willing to let the Lord take you from one level to the next? And what can you do to get this whole process started so that you can be a better disciple? Well, you can obey the Great Commission, what's there, what's laid out for us. But I think the real key of all this is to get to know Christ more intimately. Pass the test of discipleship. Find out what those commandments of Jesus are. Find out those teachings in Scripture that are based upon His commandments, those things that lead to Christ-like living. Keep them before your eyes. And you know what? You'll be a better disciple. And you'll experience the love of God. Oh, God loves you, but you'll experience and you'll feel that love of God more than you did before. And yes, Jesus Christ Himself loves you, but what, there's something about obedience that makes His love more real. And then He says, I will manifest Myself to you. I'll have an intimate relationship with you. You'll get to know Me more. The cry of the Apostle Paul's heart would be the same as yours. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord. And I will trade all things that I might simply win Christ. That is the goal of the Christian life. That's the goal of discipleship, that we might win Christ. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? Would you make it the highest goal in your life to know Christ? To know Christ. It might mean that He might need to clean you up a little bit. He might need to prune off some things that are not necessary in your life. He might bring you to that place of abiding, the place where the branch connects with the vine. Is the greatest source of sap. It's the greatest source of strength and power for the disciple. So today, would you right now tell the Lord, Lord, I commit myself and I make the goal in my life to know You, to grow in my knowledge of You. My goal is to win You. And Lord, I'm willing to give whatever is necessary in exchange for knowing You more. If you're making that prayer to the Lord, would you raise your hand up and down with mine? Amen. Lord, You see these hands today. Thank You for their willingness and the desire to know You more intimately, to pass the test of discipleship. I pray for everyone, Lord, that they would grow in their knowledge of You. I pray that each of them would have the grace to be able to allow You to prune off the things in their life that is not necessary, that they would have the grace to give up those things which would hinder them from reaching their goal of winning You. Lord, teach them those things that You have commanded us. And help us, Lord, to be able to apply those teachings so that it would lead us to more Christ-like living, that truly we would reach the place of discipleship. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
More of You.